If you got the email announcing the topic for tonight, it's in response to some pretty dire events that have unfolded over the past couple of weeks. When I heard about the two black men who were killed by quick draw police officers, I didn't really take it in. It was sort of like, again. And it was just starting to touch my heart when Dallas happened. And six police officers were killed and a number of others injured, and after a peaceful demonstration. And then Nice, and now today, another shooting of police by a lone shooter. And at this point, my heart was wide open and just really aching, just having a hard time being with the violence and the anger, so much suffering that led up to these events, and then, of course, followed them. And I'm afraid. I'll be very open about that. I'm afraid of what comes next after today. So I have turned to the Dharma, of course. That was my first response to find comfort and support for being in this crazy, violent world. And I found it in the teaching called the Six Realms of Existence. It's an archaic, kind of a strange teaching, but it's working for me. So I wanted to share it with you. And it may take some explanation of why it's working for me. So please bear with me. This teaching of the six realms of existence came into Buddhism directly from Hinduism. It had been around for a long time. And because most of society was pre-literate, the teaching was done with art and with pictures of these six realms of existence. And to make it an economical way of teaching, a few others went into it. It's a circular, it's referred to as a mudra. I think of it as a mandala, with the six realms of existence is this circle. And then the outer circle is the 12 steps of dependent origination. And then very often there's a little center circle that has the three roots of suffering, greed, hatred, and delusion, the kalesas. And the pictures vary. Everybody knew these stories. So the artists could get kind of creative and depict the realms differently. But I'll do kind of a composite in my description. And by the way, I just want to say, there probably is a relationship between dependent origination and the six realms and the three causes of suffering. I couldn't tell you what that relationship is. I've spent many hours just sort of grooving on it. Can't put it into words. So originally, in their very traditional form, the six realms were taught as where we go after death, depending on our karma. And even though this is the way it was taught and the way people understood it and related to it for at least 2,000 years. Nowadays, reincarnation isn't the accepted explanation of what happens after death. And even so, the six realms of existence have a great deal of relevance to our lives. Because these six realms are a part of our daily existence in several ways. And before I get into those ways, let me tell you what they are, these six realms. And the first, going clockwise around the circle, traditionally, the one at the top is the Deva realm. That's D-E-V-A, pronounced Deva, where everything is lovely, just dandy. It's a realm that's lush with pleasure and without any suffering, any anxiety, or unfulfilled desires. You want it, you've got it. And any being's time in this realm can last for millennia, but it always ends. There's always an end to these six realms. But still, during it, it's so lovely that you have no impetus for a spiritual life. You're kind of in the Sargasso Sea. You know, there's no wind, nothing to move you along. Then the second realm is that of the Titans. It's called the Asura realm. And it's very different than the Deva realm. This is populated by beings that are powerful, or they want to be powerful, but they're amoral beings. There's no good and evil for them. And they're driven by envy and a greed for more power. And this traditionally is illustrated by scenes of war or thievery. One of my favorite depictions, there's a beautiful, lush, fruited tree that is in the Deva realm. And several of the limbs are hanging over the fence into the realm of the Titans. And those Titans are there, they're just picking all that fruit. So they're thieves, and they're quarreling all the time in these pictures. And they have no inclination whatsoever to develop a spiritual life. They're just not that kind of being. Then there's the animal realm. This is just exactly what it says it is. It's animals that are both wild and domesticated. And they're shown being hunted by humans and by wild animals. And by humans, they're being worked or driven, and again, slaughtered. The choice by beings in the animal realm is very limited. They're ruled either by instinct or by the harshness of their life, either in the wild or under the rule of human beings. So there are two messages in the teachings about the animal realm. And the first one is, be kind to animals. They've got it rough. And the second is, you cannot practice under conditions like this. You can't. Even if you have the inclination, it's just too difficult. And another one where that's true is the hell realm. This is just what we think of it in our iconography, our common shared imagery of hell. It's constant torment. People are shown in the pictures thirsty or starving, physically tortured, and emotionally distressed. They're not happy. And you can't practice here either. But just like the other realms, the hell realm is impermanent. It will come to an end. And then kind of a fun one actually is the hungry ghost. I wouldn't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be one. But you've probably seen the illustration of the hungry ghost. They're very kind of cartoon-like characters. They have tiny little mouths that are in like a bugle shape. You know, they come out, but they're really tiny. And they're distended bellies, you know, like starving children. And they're always hungry, but unable to eat because of the tiny little mouths. So they're tormented by desire for what they're hungry for, but any desire. The hunger is just emblematic of any desire that these hungry ghosts have. And they're ghosts. They're said to remain where they lived, but they're invisible to the living. So they're always frustrated, and they're lonely and despairing. And practicing under these conditions, while it might be possible, would be extremely difficult. And then there's the human realm, with which we are all familiar. It is very real. It's us on a normal day. Pick a day. That's it. That's us. Anything could happen. We have choice for good or bad. We can pursue our livelihood, our family life, and our spiritual practice. Here we also have old age, sickness, and death, plus the many other forms of suffering that we know. And this is the best realm for liberation, because we have both enough freedom and the motivation to seek enlightenment and escape this wheel of suffering. Okay, that's where the relationship to dependent origination comes in, because it starts out with just an infant human being, a body, an awareness. And then there's Vedana, like, don't like, kind of spaced out. And the like starts to ripen into desire. And the don't like ripens into aversion. And they ripen into craving and clinging. And the next thing you know, you're suffering. And so, within the context of reincarnation, this leads to rebirth. Within the context of, you've got one life, this is it, it leads to the arising of suffering. But as human beings, in this human life, we have just the right balance to seek and find a way out of that, constantly ripening into suffering. Now, the past couple of weeks have taken this whole human realm through many of these other realms, with the police shootings of the unarmed black men in Wisconsin and Baton Rouge. Many of us have felt like we're living with titans. You know, these kind of brutish beings in the form of so many police that are over ready to use deadly force against African American men. And then we saw a black sniper pick off cops at the end of a peaceful Black Lives Matter rally in Dallas, Texas, where there was a good relationship between the police and the black community. Now, probably that sniper was living in the hell realm, and his action puts us in one. And suddenly, no matter what your opinion had been about the police shootings of black men and Black Lives Matter protests, you weren't sure where to direct your anger. I mean, there was this emotional turmoil, but no easy answer to it. No really coherent explanation of what the heck was going on. I, for one, had the sense of living in a ghost realm where nothing I could do would matter. Our minds were just picking themselves up when another tormented soul, perhaps a titan filled with aggression, drove a truck along a crowded sidewalk and murdered 84 people. The death toll could still grow because there were 200 seriously injured survivors in Nice, France. So these six realms can be a helpful metaphor to remember the severely limited beings with which we share this human existence. It can inspire us, if not to immediate compassion, perhaps at least to some notion of the playbook that these people may be following. Now, these are my personal impressions formed soon after the events of the realms that are involved. And the first is the Titan cops. It's a macho profession. As a group, they're very protective of each other. And they're well aware that on a daily basis, they risk their lives for the public. And they're very deeply grieved when one of their own is killed. They take it very personally. And they're therefore very wary in situations that they perceive as dangerous. And all of this can incline them, as Titans are, to be overly aggressive toward people they've come to see as threats. And thus we have the institutionalized racism of many police officers and their departments. It's a culture and a mindset primed for the violence we've been seeing. And it's not recent. It's just recent that we're seeing it because of all of the instant video cameras. And as I understand it, a lot of African Americans are taught early on, the cops stop you, turn on your video phone, record it. So we're seeing it now. So the next event, the sniper in Dallas, who's probably internally wounded. He reportedly is a nice guy who was warped by his time in the military, where he picked up skills which no soul in hell should possess. Plus, he's easily able to get very high-powered arms. So we know that he perceived the cops as titans or as demons in hell that were torturing him. He said as much to the police who had him surrounded before they killed him. He was mad at cops for having killed his brothers. And then there's the massacre in Nice. It's still too recent to know which realm was occupied by the driver of that truck. But we can, I think, assume that it wasn't a pleasant one. And for the Dewas, who were floating down the sidewalk of that Riviera pleasure spot, it was at least equally horrific. So here we are, we occupy this planet with beings whose minds and hearts are in one or more of these six realms, not necessarily the human one. So this teaching of the six realms is important also because in our daily lives, we occupy these different realms. When I took a course from Yvonne Rand many years ago, well, I can tell you exactly how many, or you can figure it out, because the course started on September 12, 2001. And we had some difficult emotions to deal with the day after 9/11. We were very aware of some of these other realms, as Yvonne explained it to us. And this was her lesson, that these realms are part of our daily lives. I have days when I just sort of float through the Dewa realm without any mindfulness. And then there are other days when I'm so rushed to get work done that I'm like an animal operating on instinct, just trying to get to bedtime. And we can pass through these realms in pretty rapid succession. We can become titans for a moment. I know, I get frustrated, I get impatient, and suddenly, Titan Rebecca, getting pushy and aggressive. And then I sink into hell with remorse for having harmed another being. And there are times when we want things so badly that nothing can satisfy us. Even getting the object of our desire. You've hungered after this shiny new toy. I just got my first smartphone. And gee, within a day, I was disappointed in it. So in that way, we can be like the hungry ghosts, disconnected from our own lives by our craving. And then suddenly something pleases us so much that we forget there's ever any dukkha in our lives and just get lost in pleasure. Go back to that Dewa realm. It can bring to us a compassionate perspective to realize that not only are we plagued by the other people who are acting from a Titan realm or a hell realm, but that we ourselves pass through periods when our moods or our conduct make us the Titans or the demons or the hungry ghosts to other people. And finally, I think the most important teaching from the six realms idea is that it reminds us that life in the human realm is full of 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. It is balanced. There's a kind of a balance to it. It's not mathematically precise, but we do get both. And this teaching also makes the vital point that this seesaw between the 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows is the perfect place for us to escape the suffering of all the realms. And this whiplashing between difficult states of mind, it's here that we really get to practice. So we should really make the most of this human life. Now, to get personal, I'll confess that for decades, I believed that I was on the wrong planet, that there was some serious cosmic shipping error, that I was supposed to go someplace else, like a Deva planet, right? And I ended up here instead. And this attitude began when I was 12 years old. I remember the day because we were living in Germany. My dad was an army officer in the Army of Occupation after World War II. And one day, he and my mom packed us four kids into the car and took us on a day trip, a little family outing, to Dachau, which my father, his battalion, liberated during the war. In a way, it was wise of them that no way could they have just told us what I experienced that day. But I was 12, I was still really impressionable, and I was absolutely horrified. And I just didn't want to be a member of the species that could do such a thing, that was capable of the Holocaust. This is a very difficult existence in which to keep the heart open. But still, it has the optimum balance between anguish and any ability to focus the mind enough to rise above all six realms, including this one. Trying to deny the horrors of planet Earth will not help us, and being alienated from it won't either. In traditional Buddhist teachings, getting into this human realm is a rare opportunity. We can be lost in those other realms for a long time. And then we have to cycle through countless animal lives, insects that last, you know, a day, a month, something like that, before we can get back to being human, if we're lucky. So, traditionally, it's taught that we should practice like our hair is on fire, because a trip through hell can last almost forever and be just a moment away. And that's not just in terms of lifetime, but right here in this one. In this human lifetime, we can't escape the grinding wheel of becoming, those endless trips back and forth through the six realms. You know, sociologists say that for there to be a social movement, a group needs to have just the right balance between being too oppressed to organize and not so comfortable that they won't bother. And all of us have that balance, that opportunity, in this life we're living now. And there is a lot of joy in being human. Joy can be a wonderful support for our practice, especially if we experience it mindfully. If not, well, it'll be just a passing pleasure, just a spell in the Deva realm. So enjoy being human mindfully, and may you take comfort in knowing you really are on the right planet. Thank you.